Here we are, folks. I am Maurice from A Handy Man's Haven. We're transmitting in the A Handy Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We have two locations in the southern portion of Arizona. The first one is in Tucson. Actually, it's in downtown South Tucson. Happens to be a separate incorporated area that's surrounded by the big city of Tucson. We're at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That place is a six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're the big yellow building. As you're heading southbound or northbound, you can see that quite prominently. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, except for various holidays throughout the year. Our phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. Our second location is in Green Valley. It's the northern end of Green Valley. It's off of the Duval Mine Road exit off of I-19. The address is 125 West Calle de las Tiendas in a suite 103 Alpha. Hours of operation are from Monday through Friday. They're closed Saturday, Sunday in Green Valley. Presently about 8:30 in the morning to about 4 in the afternoon, depending upon the number of guests that we have coming in, as well as some of the other activities, since we also do construction in the Green Valley area. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Our website is www, and I'm going to pronounce the name of the website rather interestingly. I'm going to call it ahandymanshaven.com. That's because the, as we know, website and emails do not accept apostrophes. So if you just type ahandymanshaven.com, you'll have the appropriate website. But like the good web information that's out there, if you type something close to that, you'll be able to weed through the system and come up with our website. Discussing some general information on behalf of A Handy Man's Haven, our design experience and our product knowledge and our construction knowledge is quite extensive, as well as the technical knowledge required for many activities. Most individuals really feel that we do not know anything about plumbing, we do not know anything about electrical or HVACs or things of that nature. And I do know that when you become certified to be a designer, all of these entities enter into the picture. Not that we are experts in those areas. That's not necessarily the case. But they do enter into developing the efficiency that customers are seeking and may not know very much about when it comes to the code, so to speak, and things of that nature. So our general manager, as an example, he has a lot of vocational design experience. He's also a certified welder. He's a forger and has a lot of experience in that area. He's very knowledgeable on many matters associated with design. He's also been involved with architectural studies at the University of Arizona. Quite experienced, a good head on his shoulders, and does an outstanding job in keeping everything on the even keel. Our mill shop manager has a tremendous amount of experience in all trades. He's formerly a project manager of a major restoration company in Tucson, and we delve into his experience quite regularly on how to do certain things, and we jointly collaborate in order to get the products done appropriately for whatever the customer's requests are. Has a lot of woodworking experience, a lot of repairing experience, and also does excellent job on stain and paint matching when that is required of the things that we are talked about or things that we need to work with on behalf of the customer. We have three designers, and they have a lot of experience. So some of the designers have about 15 years of experience in cabinetry design, bathroom design, and other activities. And again, We collaborate with everybody within the operation that we have in Tucson or Green Valley to assist in coming up with the best possible means of a solution to what the customers are requesting. It comes back to myself now at the present time. I've been in the trade, so to speak, since 1950. I've had extensive training in school. I was very fortunate to go to the Sunnyside school system at the time period when they had a wood shop, and I spent many hours in a wood shop doing various activities. My dad was also one of my strong mentors in that he was a contractor, a furniture maker, a remodeler, a construction person, building homes, building buildings, whatever it happens to be. And I was just followed in his footsteps as we moved through the things that we needed to do in our own personal home and the entrepreneurial businesses that my mom and dad were putting together. I have been educated at the University of Arizona. I do have a master's degree in engineering, so I'm well spooled up on a lot of the trades and do invest a lot of time in learning about the codes and the permitting process and the safety features required for various aspects. Another thing that's rather interesting, I have two published papers on a national basis. I did work extensively with NASA on their space nuclear auxiliary power unit that they were having a lot of trouble with, and designed a system where we could test out where the failures would be in occurring and how we could fix their operation for the success that takes place. It's really rather hard to believe that we were using nuclear power in order to drive an auxiliary power unit in many of our space flights. Lots of hand-on experience. My first kitchen, as an example, that I designed, which was quite extensively, was in 1970. And I will say on behalf of realtors and things of that nature, they were absolutely surprised at a lot of things that I put into the kitchen that they never even heard about or thought was even in a good aspect of a kitchen design. One thing that was rather interesting is that in my base cabinets in the kitchen, all the kitchen cabinets, as far as the basis go, were all on a drawers or pull-out systems. And the only two doors was below the kitchen sink because you needed to have all the room and easily be able to get into it in order to take care of the plumbing aspects of what was taking place. So I do want to emphasize that we do collaborate. We do use a lot of experience in order to come up with the various designs. One of the major activities that we're working with at the present time is that we did have a customer comes in and with the design of their kitchen, and this customer itself, and I've only had two people that I've known in my experience that moves homes about every 3 or 4 or 5 years. So they buy a home, they fix it up, they live in it for a while, and they move on to their next home. One person that I know that did this quite extensively was a architect, and that's what their policy was, that every 3, 4, 5 years they move into a brand new home, build a brand new one, and away they go. This one happens to be a heavy remodeling type operation, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out why within their kitchen that they want to have eight square feet of dead space in their kitchen. They're actually programming this in purposely, and they could not come up with an explanation for me to understand why they wanted to do this. 8 square feet is a lot of square feet in a kitchen to lose. You can put a lot of storage in it. They did have some great ideas that we're employing with other aspects of it. Very few upper cabinets from that standpoint. Their base cabinets are very selective, and they are waning a little bit on the amount of drawers that most people like to utilize in order to store a lot of their implements and things that they need within their kitchen. We are transmitting on AM 1030 with your trusted local news and talk, and we've completed the first segment of the show. Our production engineer today is Kent. And he will field phone calls. So if you want to get on the air, you can give us a call at 520-790-2040. So, Kent, thanks for being with us, and take it away, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A. Handy Man's Haven, and we're transmitting in the A. Handy Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. So we're talking about some generalities that are going on in the building industry, and there is quite a bit that's happening in our economic situation that we're in today. It's improving on a daily basis. Last year, as an example, the single-family homes that are built for rent, and this is sort of unusual to a certain extent. Yes, there's a lot of apartment houses being built and condominiums and townhomes and things of that nature. And they are truly many of those for single families. But the freestanding single-family home, as we know it, on a plot of land in a general area, which are specifically built for rent. A lot of people are going back into the passive income aspect of their earnings with an investment, and that is continually arising on an annual basis due to our economic improvement that we've been associated with over the last few years. I know that in the mountain region of the United States, there's been about a 3% increase. The mountain region is considered, in this case, it comes from Idaho, the Dakotas, down to Utah, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado, in that general area. This is recognition that has been provided by the National Association of Home Builders Association, which is out of Washington, D.C. I am a member of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, which also includes us as membership in the National Association of Home Builders. A lot of good information comes from them as to what's going on in the United States industry of building. The single-family homes for rent tend to be smaller than the for-sale homes in the single-family residential. Most homes that are for sale and built for single-family homes are in about the 2,000-square-foot area. And I do know that in watching realtors and what they have for sale, that seems to hold true here in the Tucson area itself. They have fewer bedrooms and bathrooms than in the past. 52% have one or two bedrooms, and 96% of them have two bathrooms. That's also pretty important. One of the areas of the homes that we've been working on, I thought it was rather interesting in the design that came forth from, and I don't remember whether it was a draftsman or an architect, but in order for guests to get to a bathroom, of which there was only one bathroom in it, they had to walk through the master bedroom. And I thought that was rather interesting that that was the way the complex was designed, and thought that that was pretty cumbersome in setting up a floor plan of that nature. I don't know whether it will change. The other interesting part of it, did not necessarily comply with the complete accessibility, which is sort of required by federal law these days when you build brand new areas of homes of this quality. And I don't know what they plan on doing about it from that standpoint. They do plan on selling the home when they get it finished, but these may be some major hangups. It was approved, interesting enough, by the development area of the city in issuing the permits for building, which I felt was rather interesting also. But I think some modifications are going to come about as a result of this in working with it. The contractor seems to have some basic knowledge as to what's taking place. Another home that we're working on is a home that you may want to say we're going to raise the roof. And I don't mean knock it down in that case, but they're actually going to physically raise the roof of the entire house and provide more vaulted ceilings, so to speak, from that standpoint. That is quite an expense to accomplish something like that, but that's what is taking place. A couple of the other things I'd like to talk about as it comes out is some of the items that are available in the industry. One of them happens to be a faucet. I mean, everybody has used faucets over the years. We do not have too much trouble here in southern Arizona with freezing as an example or faucets bursting. However, we have had some serious cold spells. We had one several years back in February that created quite a bit of problem when it came to the faucet system with blown pipes and et cetera. But there is a company by the name of Woodford Manufacturing Company that has designed what they call an anti-burst faucet. So if you're interested in looking up on the web, it's pretty easy to do. Woodford Manufacturing. Manufacturing is shortened to Mike Foxtrot Golf, MFG, .com. And they herald that as being a outstanding product. It will not burst when the freezing come along, the freezing time period come along, and that would be asset would be an asset in trying to make sure that your faucet does not blow apart and either create a flooding in the backyard, front yard, or in the house itself. So keep that in mind if you think you're on an area. I do know we have a lot of people that have so-called summer homes in the White Mountain area, as well as summer homes in the Santa Ritas and up in Mount Lemmon. So that may be something to think about from that standpoint. A couple of the other products that seem to be coming available. There is a toilet as an example. It's called Numi Toilet. I assume that that is a manufacturer somewhere in the world. I haven't looked it up to see exactly where it's at. But the Numi toilet is among several plumbing fixtures, faucets, and bath accessories that is being promoted by Kohler. Kohler, as you know, is a very extensive manufacturing company that has a lot of items available for the homes. It has several preferences on it, and it's considered a smart toilet. If I don't think it has a computer attached to it from that standpoint where you could have a push-button screen or a touch screen and work, but it does have a heated toilet seat. It has a foot warmer. And it also has an ambient-colored light scheme that you can purchase it, along with wireless Bluetooth music that's syncing. Now, I don't know why you want to sync that music to whatever you're doing, but anyway, that's what it has. The elongated comfort and the height of the toilet offers you lots of hands-free opening and closing with an integrated cleaning system. It has a high level of water efficiency from that standpoint, and it comes with about, it works with about 1.28 gallons of water. So that is quite a water savings from that standpoint and gives you a tremendous amount of accessories that may be very pleasing to those who are in need of that facility. So keep that in mind when you're moving about and thinking about changing a lot of things in your area. The Europeans have developed, again, with the inspired stainless steel cabinets that have what we call a frameless design. There's a lot of terms that go out there in the industry, and a lot of people may get the terms utilized in improper ways, but way back when, so to speak, the cabinetry in the United States was built with a face frame and a front. And that is a series of hardwoods normally that provide a frame around the front of a carcass or a box that we use for storage in the facility. So there are face frame cabinets and there are faceless frame cabinets or frameless cabinets. or they're called the European cabinets at many time period, or Euro cabinets, they shorten that. And they also pick up a new name lately, which is called full access. There are some advantages to that, but there are also some major disadvantages. The advantage is that you get a totally different look. You have very close seams or openings between the door-to-door arrangement or between the walls, and we have to be very careful through our designing techniques that we do have to allow some space up against the wall because, as most of us know, the walls not necessarily are perfectly flat or straight. So we do provide some spacing techniques that so the doors does not bang up against the wall. We've completed the second segment of the Hammer Time Radio Show. We are transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your local news and talk. And we'll, again, folks, we'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. We have two locations, one in downtown South Tucson in the Tucson metropolitan area at 1724 South 6th Avenue. We are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Our Green Valley location is off the Duval Mine Road exits coming off of I-19 at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. One of the other things I'm going to talk about, we hear about these things quite regularly, but somebody has collected the names of the various age groups that we associated with the building construction industry are trying to figure out how to design for them, what they're looking for in order to develop the products. And, of course, to make a little bit of money so we could eat the spaghetti and the raviolis and things of that nature that may be of interest to a lot of people. So many of us have recently heard of the millennials. And the ages of millennials in 2020, as an example, are between 24 and 44. So they are giving birth to individuals, and they're labeled as the global from birth. So the global people from birth. I thought that was an interesting name for a group of people. Another one is the Gen 2s. They do not explain in this article what the Gen... Well, I take it back. They do. Their ages from 12 to 23 in the 2020 year point. The next one, I just talked about the millennials. So that's and the Gen 2 and the other group of birth. Everybody knows about that. Then there's the Gen X's, and that's ages 45 to 54 in 2020. And then there's the baby boomers, and their age is 55 to 75 in 2020. So when it comes to my age group as an example, we're known as the prime timers. I thought that was interesting. So the age group at that is that you're 76 plus in 2020. So folks, if you're listening and you happen to be in that age group, you're considered one of the prime timers. I don't know how they come up with that label, but anyway, that's what it happens to be. This is an innovator, a predictor at various aspects and trying to provide the trends that we in the construction field have to be associated with. Not have to be, I guess, but we have no choice if we expect making a couple of shekels down the line and to continue on with life. Talk a little bit about what buyers are interested in paying for and not paying for. And as most of us know, that when you purchase a home or a building or something in various areas, there are various risks involved. If you decide you want to build or You want to buy a home in a mountainous region with a lot of trees and everything, of which many of us have been associated with here with the Catalina Mountains, situated on the north side, or the Santa Rita Mountains. There are risks involved in an area like that, and, of course, that happens to be the fire capability of the area. And I did hear in a California area there's millions of trees that are fallen down that cannot be removed because of the ecological rules and regulations that are in place. And this was one of the things that developed the major fire that was in the California area. But what are buyers willing to pay for? And what are insurance companies willing to handle in case there's a serious risk involved? So many of us have heard about floods. So 22% of the area in the United States is associated with risk nationwide due to floods. When it comes to tornadoes, there's 27% of the area that could be associated with tornadoes. They don't include, in this case, hurricanes, but in various places, you have the Walla Wallas also. So all they are is big dust devils, so to speak, as we label them here in Arizona. They're differential in pressures that create a swirling motion, and when they get to be extremely powerful, many of us have read over the years what takes place when you have the rotating movements of the airflow. Hurricanes, 23% is the risk factor of hurricanes. Earthquakes, there's 15% of the area that's associated with earthquakes. As we said periodically, we got some land for sale along the San Andreas Fault. How much would you like to buy? The prediction is that one day the San Andreas Fault is going to open up extensively, and who knows what that may develop. Wildfires, as an example. 18% of the area is in risk for wildfires. Hail, we do have that periodically. Anybody who has been in an area where there has been big hailstones, it does wonders on putting dimples in automobiles and things of that nature. But that's 24% of the area is associated with hail. And when it comes to snowstorms, 34% of our area is associated with massive snowstorms. So some resilience measures have to be considered, but as most of us know, what are we willing to pay to protect ourselves from this? What is the insurance companies willing to pay when we're associated with this type of arrangement, when the natural disasters, of which most of these really are associated with, come about? So as a result of trying to protect various areas of your home, there's a flash and seal roofing, roof and walls. So this is trying to protect the roof and walls from opening up and developing leaks from that standpoint. As most of us know, in the construction area, that we use a lot of what was called as Simpson connectors, which are steel pieces of apparatus that bind the home together all the way from the concrete floor with J-bolts that come up out of the concrete and anchor to the studs or anchor to the block walls, and then proceed on up to the top of the wall where, you know, a wood frame operation, you have the H pieces of material that anchor the wall structure itself to the beams that are going to hold the roof rafters. The roof rafters are attached to those, and it just goes on up. Many times if you're watching new homes being built, you'll see straps that bind the walls together, and they're normally X'd in nature, so to speak. And as most of us know in the technical career field, that anything that is triangulated happens to be the strongest plane figure that has ever been designed from that standpoint. It's stronger than a square, stronger than a rectangle, stronger than a circle. So if you take a look at all the trusses, you can come down to our building as an example, which was probably built in the 1930s that is, since we haven't met 2030 yet, but that's coming up shortly. Look at the bridging, Golden Gate Bridge. Look at the trusses for trains as they go across wide spans, and you'll see all sorts of triangulations. Even the high-tension power line systems that are out there, you can pick out all the triangles. And the reason is that that is the strongest flat plane figure that has ever been designed and is utilized continually. So there's such things as hurricane straps, which I just talked about. A lot of times another practice that we have to consider is the floodplain elevation. We do have some concerns in the northern portion of the city of Tucson as far as floodplains go. The Rito River has flooded on occasions and has wiped out complete buildings on the south shore of that area in the vicinity of Campbell Avenue. There's ways of working with your windows and doors, such as pan flashing, bracing of your walls and projections that will prevent the room from the house from coming apart. I can remember years ago, before our codes even specified this, that a neighbor that was across the street from where we lived, that their entire front portion of the house was lifted off due to the heavy winds and put in the backyard. Now, that doesn't afford very much protection when you find out that your roof is now in your backyard instead of being on the front part of your house. But this is how strong the winds can get to be. I do know in our building at A Handyman's Haven, a few years back, we had a big section of our roof. Roofing, as an example, just lifted right off and tore apart from that standpoint, and that area had to be re-roofed. What most people don't know, that with the gable roofs and things of that nature, that the roof itself, due to the winds, really acts as a wind or an airfoil, just like an airplane does. So as the wind passes over the top of a domed roof, as an example, it meets the air that has to go around the side of the building in the rapid fashion, and therefore the pressure on the inside of the building is greater, and therefore it will lift off if the pressure happens to be greater than what the airflow is over the top. So buildings themselves can act as airfoils, just like airplanes fly. Tents can do the same thing. And I have personally been associated with activities of that level. Also, one may consider some fire-resistant roofing. And that could be very, very important if you happen to have an internal fire from that standpoint and take that into consideration. So what are we as consumers willing to pay for to have these safety features and to protect ourselves? And yet still maintain the lifestyle we'd like to maintain and not be considered isolated. I did have a personal friend, as an example, this was years ago, that actually built his home within a mountain in a cave, a big, huge, carved-out area of a mountain. And it was temperature-controlled fairly well. It was always in about the 70 degrees area from that standpoint. Well, folks, we finished up the third segment. We're on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. And again, as I say, we'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven. We're transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter into the conversation today, please give us a call at 520-790-2040. We'll have you on the air, and you can share your experiences or knowledge with the listening public. One of the other things that I've been able to come across is many of us have heard about PEX piping, which seems to be the common piping that is used today, especially in retrofitting older homes. I've used PEX in my lifespan here. And they're really very easy to use from that standpoint. Another thing that's come about over the years in the plumbing industry is the shark bite fasteners. You can get rid of using sweated joints as an example, yet many of the highly experienced people do like to stay with the sweated copper joints. From that standpoint, there's nothing wrong with that. But now the shark bite company has come out with inline fasteners, which is a push to connect system that eliminates the needs for tools. How about that? Eliminates the need for tools, and they optimizing the install time and reducing the risk of leaks from installation errors. And I can will say that even with any type of joint that you're going to make, it is good to ensure that you are going to eliminate the leaks. Leaks in wall structures are not much fun. I do know in years past, I found out that copper tubing that was purchased from Mexico, this happened to be in the 1980s or so, late 70s, 80s, that there was impurifications associated with the manufacturing of copper tubing, and they would, due to the alkaline water that we had here in Tucson, that it would remove some of the impurities that were embedded in the copper tubing and therefore cause a leak. And it was like a pin needle leak, a very, very small leak. You found out when you had a leak in your home when you walked into certain areas with carpeting and it went slush, 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 slush. And especially if you were barefooted, you got wet feet and you couldn't figure out why you were having wet feet in a closet or wet feet in the bedroom or whatever it happened to be. And it turns out that a small leak developed, like a pin needle leak, and they basically have to be cut out and then reassembled with some other type of mechanism. So these shark bite systems are pretty easy to utilize. They do have to be appropriately installed. Otherwise, you can have some difficulties from that standpoint. Just like anything else, folks, if it's not installed properly, you could have some serious concerns. One of the other items that I came across I thought was pretty interesting was eliminating the need for house wraps. And I do know that in today's construction, I still see that quite extensively, that people or contractors or the architects are still specifying house wrapping in order to control the air and water, or I should say to develop an air and water barrier system around whether it's multifamily housing, apartment housing, townhomes, condominiums, or it's your regular home. So there is a company that is by Georgia Pacific. They call their product Force Field, just like the force is with you out in the field. How's that? Maybe you can remember it that way. They do have a Georgia Pacific's website, or you can go to the GP, standing for Georgia Pacific, forcefield.com, and you can get the information on how to eliminate your house wrap if you're getting ready to build a home from that nature. Nobody really likes to have water or extraneous air come into your home on a regular basis, because the windows and doors and the major construction of your home has not been developed appropriately from that standpoint. So keep that in mind as some of the new products that are available. Maybe that's more attuned to the contractors, or maybe the architects, or the draftsmen that end up producing the plans for the home. A couple other products I thought was rather interesting. They have a faucet out there now. In fact, it looks like a fire hydrant with a hose attached to it, but it's called a California faucet. The design for this draws its inspiration from retro futuristic steam gauges and gears of the industrial-style steampunk genre, Boy, that isn't a mouthful for a faucet. But it looks like a fire hydrant, an example, that's got a big curvature a piping system on the top of it. It's got a valve on the rotating valve on the side of it. It's made from solid brass. There are some slightly distressed finishes. And it's a collection that features utilitarian shapes. Solid brass is rather unique in this case, but it also comes with a wide range of accessories and handles to choose from, including a wheel, which is where the faucet is. It's got a little knob on the faucet that you can rotate it, sort of like the speed knobs we used to have on a lot of our steering wheels. If you're going to do a rapid turning around the corners, I don't see that too many these days, but somebody tries that, I guess, without having those. Do you remember, Kent, what you call that little knob that was on the top of the steering wheel? Yes. Yeah, rotate it around real fast. But the unique thing I found about it, it has it's made from solid brass. And it's available in a wide variety of colors and various options. The other thing that is the Ashley Norton Lux Modum Lever Set. It combines sleek lines and textural details as part of their solid brass collection for water levels, water levers from that standpoint. It has knurled levers, if you like to have that for gripping purposes. It comes in various colors. They have a Venetian bronze, unlacquered brass, and flat black. The lever style, there's three different lever styles that are available, and that may be important to you also. Then there is another toilet. I talked about the Numi toilet earlier, but this is called Icera, I-C-E-R-A. I really don't know how to pronounce that, but Icera, Kent just pulled up the steering wheel knob. You can get them today. They look like about anywhere from $5 to $10 a piece. So if you want to get one of those, have fun, folks. We used to do that when we're dating, right? You go around the corners and you're hugging your sweet lady on the right-hand side and having a good time. I don't know if anybody had very many accidents with that type of technique. Do you, Kent? You remember that? Not at all. So anyway, this other toilet has a new smart Muse wash system that integrates a bidet seat, remote control, and a host of personal features. It doesn't really go about talking about all the host of personal features, but one of them happens to be a premist system that activates whenever the seat is occupied. I don't know how that premist system would work, but that would be pretty interesting. It automatically flushes, and most of us are familiar with that with the commercial bathrooms available. You sit up, and before you know it, or you stand up, and the water flushes automatically. Or if you stand there too long, it flushes again. It may stand there too long again. It flushes for the third time, and sometimes I don't think it saves on water, at least. It may be very sanitation because it uses a lot of water. It also will set you up for a touch-free bathroom experience. This is very unique. In the bowl, it has an LED nightlight. So I guess that could be important for a lot of people who like to walk around at nighttime and try to find the toilet in there. It also uses about 1.2 gallons of water per flush. And I think that that's very significant from that standpoint. So keep that in mind. It's I-C-E-R-A, I-C-E-R-A. They also have some various lighting systems that are available. And they also call this, it's a handle, so to speak, that can go on your cabinetry. It's labeled as a nostalgic warehouse look as far as your levers go. Well, folks, there's a lot more of these things I can cover, but we're coming to the end of our show at the present time. It's been a pleasure being with you this weekend. We are in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio, transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And so we'll see you next week. Have a great week and stay warm.